welcome to Under the Dome, the State Journal Register's podcast about Illinois politics and government. I'm SJR political writer Bernie Schoenberg. Doug Finke is off today, so with me today is Brendan Moore. He writes our business column at the State Journal Register. He also covers Springfield City Council right now. He's a good fill-in for Finke because he was an intern at the State House for Doug Finke last year and actually is a graduate of DePaul in his hometown of Chicago, where he was taught by Carol Marine, a journalist extraordinaire up there. Brendan, tell us a little about your background just before we get going.
Yeah, originally from the Chicago area up in Lake County. I went to school at DePaul, got my bachelor's degree there, came to Springfield to study under the great Charlie Wheeler in the public affairs reporting program at UIS. That's how I came to the State Journal Register. And I've been here about a year now. I'm happy to be here.
Very good. And you worked on stories with Carol Marine, who is one of the most multifaceted journalists I've ever seen because she's on WTGW Public TV up there. She was a longtime Sun-Times columnist, but finally gave that up because she is now co-director of the Center for Journalism Integrity and Excellence at DePaul, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Very good. Well, hello, Carol, if you're listening. One of my heroes. Anyway, let's talk about cannabis. The state of Illinois, of course, has legalized the sale of recreational use cannabis starting the beginning of next year for people 21 and over. But cities are given the opportunity to be in or out. I think Naperville just opted out, even though a local business that dispenses cannabis there for medical purposes had gotten the expanded license, I think, to sell more. So that seems to be not going to happen. What's going on in the city of Springfield, as long as you are putting these circles together of what the city is doing with what the new state law is?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, Bernie, the state of Illinois passed the cannabis bill earlier this year, and now we're kind of seeing the cities and municipalities across the state decide whether they want to be in or out, and Springfield is among them. And we saw this week a couple of ordinances emerge that kind of show us what the city council might be thinking. So one would kind of amend the city's zoning code, which would allow for adult use facilities to be open and operational across the city of Springfield. Mm-hmm. I'm still reading through it, but it seems that it would basically, they would have to follow the same rules that some of the medicinal facilities have to follow.
Is it likely that we're going to see a lot more in different places, or is it mostly expansions of the medical cannabis places, or do we know yet?
So that's still kind of to be determined. So Springfield has one medicinal facility within the city limits, and then there is another one that's in Grandview. And
one of those little suburbs in and around Springfield.
Absolutely, within the donut hole. So they have first dibs on if they want to get a adult use license, and they both indicated that they will exercise that right. They have not been issued those licenses yet by the state, but it's very likely that they will. Chris Stone, who is the head of HCI here in downtown Springfield, one of those facilities, has said that he intends to open up a retail location for an adult use program, probably somewhere on the west side, but he has not announced yet. The owners of Maribus have indicated the same.
That's the one in Grandview?
That's the one in Grandview. Okay. And so we will just have to wait and see where they go, but we could see other places open up as well.
My understanding is that cities have the opportunity to tax the sale of marijuana just for a municipal tax, mm-hmm. Up to 3% of the price. And looks like Springfield City Council, Mayor Jim Langfelder, members of the city council seem to have indicated they want to do the full 3%, correct?
Yes. So that's the other ordinance that's under consideration. And basically, it would be the full 3%, about half of that would go towards the city's police and fire pensions, and the other half would go towards economic development on the city's east side, which, as folks in Springfield know, is one of the more economically challenged areas of the city in need of economic development.
Does everybody seem to be in agreement with that? I know certainly the older persons who represent that side of town are for it, but everybody else going along with that as far as we can tell?
That remains to be seen. So the ordinances are on first reading, so they'll be heard in committee next week, and then if it passes out of committee, it'll be heard before the full city council. So we'll see if they agree on that specifically, but it seems that it's pretty clear that Springfield will allow recreational use. They'll allow retail sales within city limits. Aldermen have seemed very keen to take advantage of the potential financial windfall that comes with legalized marijuana and the sales within the city. And it's just a matter of kind of what the ground rules are going to be. And so with one of these ordinances with the zoning, what we're going to see is it's a resolution, and basically the city is going to tell the Planning and Zoning Commission, you know, take a look at this, and they will give a recommendation, and then it'll go to the city council, and we should probably see something concrete probably by October or November.
Okay. There was another change in state law this year among the many things that happened this spring session. It expanded gambling potentially greatly across the state with new casinos in various places. Springfield is not on that list, mm-hmm. but local establishments, which Springfield, I think, has the most just video gaming machines of any city, mm-hmm. because Chicago hasn't been allowed yep. to do that under the state law yet. And Springfield, pretty much every restaurant, almost every restaurant and bar has the five allowed machines. And I think they're going to allow up to six, so that'll be a change. Mm-hmm. Just any particular big shift in what Springfield is doing with the new state law under gambling?
Yeah, so as you said, you know, it's one of those other laws that was changed that cities have to kind of adjust to. Springfield, as you said, is number one in terminals, and they're number two in revenue. Rockford is number one, has been number one the past couple of years. So Springfield, it seems that the city council and the mayor are keen to add that six terminal to each location that has video gaming, but they may be looking at some other adjustments. So obviously Springfield having the most video gaming terminals, some have asked the question of do we have too much? Do we need to maybe place a cap on that? So we're probably going to see that be debated next month in the city council, whether they want to place a cap on the number of establishments that can have video gaming. And also, too, in Springfield and a lot of other municipalities have also done this as well. They have ordinances on the books that basically say you have to have about 60% of your revenue coming from, you know, food and beverage sales. This came as a response to some of these video gaming parlors that right. have popped up all across Springfield and other towns across the state. And basically right now in Springfield, that ordinance it's basically if somebody calls in and gives them a tip, they can go out and investigate, but there's really no enforcement mechanism there. So there may be a change to make that there's random checks every year. So
oh, okay.
there has to be enforcement of that ordinance.
Right. But that ordinance, I think, came on after some video gaming parlors, which are not food-based, were open. So those are grandfathered
in.
They can stay doing what they're doing. It's just new licenses in the city of Springfield can't. Well, I'm
right.
not sure every local town around here has that kind of ordinance. So
right.
you know, so those parlors may still open up other places nearby.
Yeah. City of Springfield adopted it. And I believe Jerome has adopted it. But yeah, rural Sangamon County has not. And this actually came up a few weeks ago. We had a big debate about annexation in Springfield. So there's a state law that allows the city of Springfield to close what they call holes in the donut, mm-hmm. which is basically unincorporated territory that's completely surrounded by city limits. And there was a property owner that wants to open a video gaming parlor, and he's in one of these parcels that's in unincorporated Sangamon County where it would be allowed, but he was annexed into Springfield where
it's not
allowed.
Unless he has a restaurant.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, a little more on that later. We are going to take just a short break and be right back.
Attention outdoor lovers, this event's for you. The State Journal Register presents Outdoor Expo, Saturday, September 21st from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Bank of Springfield Center. Bring the whole family to explore the worlds of hunting, fishing, camping, and more, featuring an archery presentation and appearance by American sporting legend Ted Nugent. General admission and VIP meet greet tickets are on sale now. Don't miss the Outdoor Expo. Learn more at sjroutdoorexpo.com.
Welcome back. It's Bernie Schoenberg talking with Brendan Moore on Under the Dome. Let's talk about something statewide, and I, not to be too rose-colored glasses here, but the Department of Natural Resources, the new director under Governor J.B. Pritzker's Colleen Callahan. Actually heard her discussing something on a radio show, and then I followed up with her. She was very encouraged that under the new state budget, the department is going to be able to hire up to a headcount of 1,250. They are at about 1,190 positions. Last we talked about a week ago, and this is a giant reduction from what used to be the manpower or the person power of that department, as well as the Illinois Historic Sites, Historic Preservation Agency, which was melded into DNR. Combined, those two agencies had more than nearly 2,600 people back about in 2001. So they are way down from that, but they are trying to get back up to some level. And Brendan, this is interesting because they're going to be hiring people to run state parks and fisheries and nature preserves all over the state and historic sites, some of which have gone without the kind of, like people to tour guides in state parks. I remember as a kid going to Starved Rock State Park and how great that was to take a tour with just a few people and a guide. And I think a lot of that fell by the wayside over time. So it's just an interesting thing that the state has some resources now and they're trying to hire back some people and fill some gaps.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting because over the past few years, a big theme, especially here in Springfield, it really felt it is the hollowing out of state government, of state agencies not having the staffing levels to perform their very basic functions. So
yeah, obviously DCFS, which has been under a kind of a microscope lately, particularly with reports of children and families with children having contact with DCFS and then children being killed. It's been kind of a horrible situation. Channel 20 in Springfield has done put a spotlight on that as well. We know that they are hiring more people to cut the backlog in DCFS. So Governor Pritzker is hoping to move forward with increased revenues coming in. And he also wants that graduated income tax next year because he thinks that can bring in another more than $3 billion a year. Although there will be obviously competition to that from Republicans and other folks who think it's a bad idea to go forward with a graduated income tax on the state level because they say the flat tax is something that can help lure business, whereas Pritzker says a graduated income tax, like the federal system, where richer people pay more, is fair and people will accept that without moving out of the state. So
that's going to be quite the battle next year, especially when you look up in Chicago, they're probably going to have to make some cuts and make some tax increases, and there will be a question of how much voters will handle.
Yeah, and obviously one of your other roles at the State Journal Register is to do the weekly business column now. We missed Tim Landis. We lost him a while ago. But the business community, I think, is mostly also on board with the Republican side of this, saying we don't want the graduated income tax. Would that be a fair way to put that?
Yes, that's a pretty easy answer. And actually, Greg Bays, who, as you know, Bernie, is the longtime head of the Illinois Manufacturers Association, recently retired, is currently leading a group that is kind of spearheading the opposition to this graduated income tax proposal. So we should see a lot of messages on both sides over the airwaves over the next year. Obviously, Governor Pritzker has a political action committee as well.
Right. It was called Think Big Illinois when they were pushing for legislation, which kind of matched his campaign theme. We do big things, we think big.
So while, next year, obviously there's a Senate race on the ballot in Illinois and obviously the presidential race, but I think the graduated income tax is probably going to be the big question.
It will be, and it may affect races in other ways. I think the Republicans have already said they hope that concentrating on that will help people maybe forget about presidential tweets and maybe say, let's vote for some Republicans to stop, you know, the Democrats from making changes in taxes that we don't like. Mm-hmm. Finishing up today, I know you pay attention, Brendan, to a lot of things going on in Chicago and statewide. And John Shimkus, whose congressional district used to go through Springfield until the last census and redrawing of districts, has announced that he is not running for another term. He's been in for more than two decades. There was this thing about I believe it was a 12-year term limit, he had said, but then he was convinced that wasn't a good idea because Denny Hastert and George W. Bush convinced him that he must stay, and he did. But now he's leaving, and he's leaving at an interesting time because it's very possible Illinois will lose a congressional district after the 2020 census. So if he, if somebody runs for his office this time and is elected as a Republican, that whole district may go away if Democrats get to draw the next map. So just kind of an interesting situation.
Absolutely. And we saw this during the last redistricting. I believe Adam Kinzinger and Don Manzullo up in
two Republican members in kind of Central Illinois thrown together,
had to face each other in a primary. Happened up, I think, up in Chicago as well. There may have been one as well. But that's going to be very interesting to see. And, that has to probably factor into anyone prospective candidate's calculus a little bit, although it was brought up a few times that that is a safe Republican district.
Apparently it's more than 40 points that President Trump won that district, and where Shimkus now resides, and Shimkus lives in Collinsville,
and obviously Representative Shimkus has been there for a while. These seats do not come open often, so it'll be interesting to see who decides to take the leap.
And who wouldn't want to be a member of Congress just for 2 years? Of course, there is going to Washington every week and got to deal with the family, so it's difficult. We will say there has been talk that Senator Jason Plummer of Edwardsville, state senator, Republican, is considering this. Mike Maron is a state representative from the Danville area who has formed an exploratory committee to run for this. But according to a story I am reading from, I think it was NPR, said that State Senator Dale Ryder of Mattoon and Chapin Rose of Mahomet say they are not interested in that seat. So a lot of speculation about who might be the next John Shimkus. With that, that will do it for this week's episode of Under the Dome. We'll be back next week with more on the latest in Illinois government. Until then, be sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or Spotify. I'm Bernie Schoenberg for Brendan Moore this week with me. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.